Hey, in Africa, I'm like, how much time? They're like, take as long as you want. I'm like, oh, dude, speaking my language. No time restraint, just preach. They're used to just sitting there for hours. I'm like, oh, I love this. But anyway, so today, no time restraints. We're going to blend the service into the second, and wherever I end up, I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm joking. But I do want to kind of close up where I was, because I was in Ephesians chapter 4, so I want to bring it to a close in that area. Father, I pray you bless your word. And I pray, God, that we are the church, and the whole, everything you wrote in Ephesians was to show us your church, how we should be, who we should be, how we should act, what we should do. So prepare us today and equip us and arm us. And I pray some things are really basic and simple today, but you know what? God, I pray we would learn from the simple and the basic. And I pray we'd never lose the foundations of Christianity and think somehow we've arrived and become superior in our knowledge. I thank you for open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So the whole first part of Ephesians, you keep hearing me say this, chapters 1-3 is doctrine. But there's rich in doctrine. What are some of the doctrines? We're adopted. We're accepted in the beloved. We're children of God. We're saints. We're there's so much rich doctrine of who we are. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are. So all this stuff we are. But then what do you do with all that? What do you do with all those? What do you do with all the blessing and the doctrine and all that information of who you are? So this kind of tells you more of the what you do with that. So chapter 4 and 5 and 6, really rubber hits the road. I can't wait. So after this, we're going to get into Ephesians 5. I'm going to do a series on marriage and family and relationships. And there's all kinds of cool stuff. And then we'll do the armor of God later in some months coming. It's going to be awesome. But it's practical stuff. And so I want to continue today, but I got to wrap chapter 4's section. I didn't really finish it last week. So let me read a few verses there. And I entitled this Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit because I really kind of feel like that. How many know that a good marriage takes two people that'll be sensitive to each other? When we're insensitive, things don't go so good in our marriage. Anybody want to amen me? All the ladies are like, amen. The men are like, shut up. Who told you? I think in our wedding, I was supposed to say something. And anyway, I'll move right along. I was supposed to say, repeat this vow, that I will be sensitive. And I went, I will be sensible. Because guys, we just like, I reprocessed that word. It's like, sensible. If I'm sensible, I'll be sensitive. You know, it's like, whatever. Anyway, moving right along. Ephesians 4:22. It says, and that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows in corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's three things here. One, put off the old in verse 22, that you put off. We have to put off the old. It doesn't just come off. How many know when you put on that clean shirt or clean dress, the old one has to come off. You have to put it off. You can't just put the clean over the old or the stink comes through. Sorry to be blunt, but I'm just saying. You know, nobody does that. You know, it's like you don't put old garments and put new ones over it and then think like, hey, look at this. It's like, you know what I mean? We have enough sense physically with clothes. He's telling us spiritually put off the old and concerning our old ways and the way we were, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So one, we put off the old. Two, the second one is we need to be renewed in our minds. And that's where the Word of God comes in. We read the Word of God every day and we start with the Word of God because that renews our minds. And we need our minds renewed according to His Word so that we can be like Him. And then the next one is that we put off and we get renewed. Then we put on the new. In verse 24, he says that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So I want to talk a little bit about that in context to the new. And I want to talk about being sensitive because we can't just say, that's how I am. I'm not sensitive. The new you should be sensitive. We don't just get to cop out and say, this is how I am. We get to be more like Jesus. So however Jesus is, we're getting more like Jesus. And Jesus was pretty sensitive. And so how are we supposed to act? So I want to give you seven things that are listed in this text, not the text we just read, but the next verses to close the chapter. Seven things that we can practice. Seven things that we prepare for heaven. Seven things we do to be more sensitive. Seven things we can do to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when you walk without the Holy Spirit, life is not so good. Are you with me? But when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, life is good. And that's the way we were ordained to be. A bride ordains herself. She adorns herself. You know what I mean? She beautifies. come on, ladies, paints the nails and pedicures and hair and oil treatments. And I mean, Esther, what did Esther do? Esther had like, what, 6 months of all this one stuff. And then she did 6 more months of preparation. See, we just kill it, guys, but girls know exactly. But whatever. She went through a long preparation to stand before an earthly king. How much more are we going to go through to stand before a heavenly king? Aren't we the bride of Christ? So aren't we supposed to be getting prepared for where we're going to live out all eternity? So on earth, we are the bride preparing for that wedding celebration with the Lamb for eternity. So you don't see the bride out there in the garden, like with her wedding dress, you know, kneeling down in the, and hoeing dirt in a garden. You don't see the bride like over there changing baby diapers in her wedding dress. You don't see the bride. There's some things you just don't do when you're in your wedding because the man is like, hey, hey, no, no, I'll get that baby. You know, here, I'll take care of that. Like if she's got her wedding dress on and she's getting ready, that's what she's doing. She's preparing. Well, I want to go through some things that, that we need to be prepared. But the thing I want to ask you is she keeping her wedding dress spotless? Is she trying to prepare because she has to or because she wants to? She wants to look beautiful for her man. I hope. She wants to be prepared. She wants to be beautiful. She wants to present herself. And he wants her to be beautiful. He doesn't, I mean, come on, guys. Do you like buy it to go, hey, I'll buy you another one. Just let it get thrashed. Wedding dress, that's not anything to mess around with, is it? It's like, no. God's not like telling you, you need to be clean because I'm like angry at you and I want you to be spotless because I'm a taskmaster God. That's not God. God loves his bride. He loves the church. God loves you and he wants you to be clean because he loves you. He wants you to be prepared because you're going to enter into a relationship for eternity. This isn't it. This is the testing ground for the eternity. This life is like just like a blink compared to it. It's like if it was a laser beam, we're just like a little LED light compared to a laser beam that goes on for eternity. Life here is so short compared to eternity, and we're being prepared. So when I say these things to you, I want you to keep that in mind, that it's because of the love of God that God calls us to do things. It's because of the love of God he calls us to be holy. It's because of love that he has for his bride. So in verse 25, we're going to do 25 through 32, and I'm going to do it in 17 minutes. Woo. Boom shuck. It's coming. Here it comes. 25. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. He didn't say, put away lying because you just need to. You're a slave. You just need to be a servant. We're members of one another. We're like family. We're like joined. You don't like lie to your family. You don't just like lie to someone you're connected with. It's not just some flippant thing. We're like, we're family. Be angry, but don't sin. People are like, some people think, well, you could never be angry. That's a sin. No, God was angry. You can be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't give a place to the devil. Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and this is the verse that I'm really calling the whole sermon over. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All this stuff is don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So here we see a list of actions that are normal to the old that we shouldn't have, and normal and things that we need to do in the new. And our actions reflect what's going on inside of us. So when we give Christ full reign of our thoughts and our heart and our actions look less like the old and they look more like the new. They look less like us. It's we decrease and he increases in us. That's how Paul said, if I've done anything good, it's Christ in me. And, you know, I've crucified with Christ Jesus. In the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. We need to live those kind of lives. So number one, the action of the old is lying. The first thing is lying. He says, put away lying in verse 25. This is a true mark of the old ways. Lying to make yourself greater for some sort of gain to yourself is messed up. But some people do it not thinking it's bad because sometimes we want to look good. But if we have to lie to do anything, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Even white lies, even deceptive things to make yourself look better. You can skip part of the truth to make yourself look better. It's, that's not lying. I didn't lie. No, you just deceived. You just slick talked around the lie, and you didn't tell a direct lie, but you were very deceptive in your speech. Same thing. Well, I mean, it's different, but I mean, it's just still grieves God. And lying, it's a sure sign of the son of the devil. If you're a compulsive liar, you need to get free and stop it and stop fooling around with it. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. But some people, if you have to lie, it's like you need to be healed because you don't have to make yourself look good. He makes you look good. And lying, it disrupts the unity. It creates conflicts in relationships. Try lying in a marriage and see how great your marriage is. And then in relationships, try that in the church. And it breaks up the corporate as well. It's destructive to the power of relationships individually and as a group. But God calls us to live together. And when we're in unity, he commands a blessing. And lying causes division and it spins all kinds of trouble. So one, lying is not good. But the action of the new 1A is he says, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. We need to speak the truth because we're connected. And we think we can just speak something that's false because we think no one will see. But we need to remember we're connected. And remember that when we get to heaven, we're going to know all things. So speak the truth. Paul was just quoting out of Zechariah 8:16, where it says, in these things you shall do, speak each man the truth to his neighbor, give judgment at the gates for truth, justice, and peace. It's just scriptural. He just quoted Zechariah. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. A sign of a new person. So the second one was speak the truth. The next one is the action of the old is staying angry. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. Everyone's going to get angry. Look at someone and say, everyone gets angry. Some of you hide it better. You volcano it. Some of you just speak it out. But everyone gets angry. Okay? Some of you have been trained anger is bad, so never show anger, but you just hold it in. You're still angry. Remember, I told you it's because God loves you. I'm saying these things. He's not mad at you. I'm not saying this to be harsh. I'm not trying to be cavalier. I'm just telling you, we all will get angry. God was angry. Does that help anyone? Just somebody sigh and say, man, I feel better. Psalm 7:11. 7:11, cool. God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God didn't just get angry. God's angry every day. Wait a minute. Wait, how can God be angry every day? He's angry with wicked every day. When I see wickedness, I don't smile. I don't feel good. When I see people in bondage, it doesn't make me happy. When I see people ripping people off and hurting people, when I see the people enslaving other people, it gets me upset. And God's upset because righteous anger is being displeased with sin and wickedness. You can write that down. Righteous anger is being displeased with sin and wickedness. So when sin and wickedness happens, you should be angry because God's angry with it. Anger is a reality. It'll show up in everyone's life. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? And here's the real issue. How do you act when you get angry? Like the old or the new? Like the devil or God? Like the test or the testimony? Because it's a test, but you can turn it into a testimony. But you got to learn how to handle the anger. The old way is to stay angry. The new way is not to stay angry. When you deal with your anger, when you don't deal with your anger, it leads to bitterness. So the next one, too, the second action was to stay angry, but the answer to it of the new, it's a contrast sermon. So here's the contrast. 2A is the action of the new is to be angry without holding on to it. Learn how to deal with it. You have to learn how to take it and then let it go. When you can't let it go, you're in trouble. It says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. When you go to bed with your anger, it's not good. You got to lay your anger at the foot of the cross. You can't take it to bed with you. Psalms 4:4, be angry and don't sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. You can't go to bed angry. You can't be in a fight with your marriage and then just be like, whatever, I'm going to bed. The Bible says don't go to bed angry. Resolve that thing. Well, we can't get a resolution. You can resolve that you're not getting a resolution, but you can release. You can say, we're going to pick this thing up tomorrow, but right now I'm going to bless you, forgive you, move on. I'm going to go to bed in peace because I choose to. Anger is a choice. Do you know that? You don't understand. It just takes over. No, you give it room or you don't. You either say, I refuse to be angry. When you get angry and you realize you have bad attitude, then you need to change your attitude. You can yield to anger. Anger is a choice. It doesn't have authority over you if you don't let it. And if it's a demon, get delivered. If you take it to bed with you, Hosea 7:6 says, they prepare their heart like an oven while they lie in wait. The baker sleeps all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. You ever heard somebody say, they just volcanoed on me because they've been holding all this stuff, and then you touch it and they're like, blah, 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 and they just go off on you and you're like, I didn't deserve all that. You know what I mean? Because they've been packing anger and it volcanoes and it goes off. So we don't want to be a volcano. We want to learn how to get rid of our anger, and it gives a seat to the devil. So deal with your anger daily. Don't give the devil any place. So it says, be angry, don't sin, don't the sun go down your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you refuse to deal with anger, you give place to the devil. The devil, and when it says place, this is an interesting word. The place means a foothold. It means an opportunity. It means the devil has a landing strip. If it was like a visual, it's like a bird comes by me and it's unwanted, I'm going to slap it down. It's like, you're not landing on me. But if you just sit there and you're like, go, here we go, I have anger undealt with, that thing's going to land on you. And the devil will land on you if you don't deal with your anger. So you got to deal with your anger, and then there's no foothold. The word means foothold. It means place. The Greek word is topos. It's where we get the word location, like topo, topographical. And the root word means topographically. It literally means a place or terrain. He was saying is, don't give a landing strip for the devil. It's pretty simple. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Anger is a tool of the devil. You need to learn how to deal with it. If you don't know how, get signed up to a sozo and they'll help you. Number three. The next one is action of the old is stealing. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Some think a thief is only like the criminal type. They're like jewel thieves and breaking in and doing all this stuff. But if you steal, then that's bad. Don't do that. You say, well, you know, I don't do anything major. I just cheat on my taxes a little. That's stealing. I don't know. When I'm shopping, I just pop a few grapes in my mouth. That's stealing. Go pay for the things and then eat them. Sometimes I get up there and there's a wrapper. She's like, what? I'm like, I ate it, but I'm going to pay for it. You know, pay for it, but you can't pay before it's weighed. How are you here? It's small, but it's still stealing. Don't steal. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, it's not a big deal. And people try to give you things that aren't theirs to give. Oh, here, just take it. I'm like, are you McDonald's? Is that your last name? Because you can't give me that if you're not the man. You don't own it. You're just a steward. You can't give it to me. Then I'm stealing, kind of, or you stole it, and I'm receiving stolen property, and I'm not drinking stolen property. Take the stupid thing back, and I'll pay for it. Well, that's just legalistic. No, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want something that's stolen. I don't want to steal it, and I don't want to receive it if it's stolen. Are you here? He's sensitive. I want to be sensitive. I want to hear the Holy Spirit tell me, don't go this way, go this way. I want to hear him tell me, that person needs prayer, that person needs deliverance, that person needs help. I want to hear him say, give to that person, or don't give to that person. They're a snake. Don't do it. You know, but to do that, if you grieve him and you're not sensitive, and then you want him to speak to you, it's like, hello, Holy Spirit, help me. He's like, you've been grieving me. Come on, deal with these issues. So stealing, don't steal. And the next one, it says, let him who steals steal longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Working is good. You know, some people are like, man, they just do everything they can do to avoid hard work. Work is good and hard work is good. That he may have something to give to someone who needs. Some people just work to satisfy their needs. But the whole principle is, aren't you a minister? Aren't we all ministers? I'm not just the minister in the room. We're all ministers, right? So we work and we get our needs supplied. But the stuff that's above our needs, we're supposed to be able to give. And when we can't give what's above, we say, I'm just going to work to just provide for whatever I need. If you're living at the level of your income and you're consuming all that you make and you don't have extra to give, then work harder, get a different job, stop spending so much, change your budget. Something has to change because you should be making more money so you have something to give. And when we consume everything we make and we didn't leave room for giving, we missed the target. That's why we're stewards of it. But God didn't just like say, consume it all and don't give. There has to be room to give. So it says, let him steal no longer, rather than labor, working with his hands. that you may have something to give to someone who has need. We're supposed to be givers. We're supposed to have something to give. We need to be prepared to give. We're supposed to get our paychecks and have something extra put aside, waiting to give, planning to give. If we're not like God. God's a giver. We're supposed to be like God. Are you okay? All right, moving right along. The next one is foul speech. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So people say, that's a potty mouth. That's a cusser. That's this. Do you know what the word means? It really means rotten. Literally, let no rotten word come out of your mouth. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Those who eat it will eat its fruit. Rotten or sweet, it's our choice. Let's not let rottenness come out of our mouths. You ever like hit yourself with a hammer and you said something and you went, where'd that come from? In the midst of your pain, you said something you regretted. Come on, you've all done something to the point where you were disgusted at yourself. Let's not let rottenness. If you open that door and you let it sit there, if you let stuff get in you, it'll come out of you. Because what's coming out of your mouth is a reflection of something in your heart. So let's deal with that stuff and get that rottenness out and gone. It says, and he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If all you do is complain, bitter, critical, criticize, talk a bunch of smack, it's like it's going to come out of you. Rotten stuff's going to come out of your mouth. Stop it. Let goodness, sweet, prophesy, make declarations, speak good of people. And the answer is speak good and graceful words. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what's good necessary for edification that it may impart grace to the hearer. We need to prophesy to our children, prophesy to our community, prophesy in relationships, declare the good, declare the blessing. Don't just say, that Brittany is the meanest person I know. Prophesy. I pray she be the most joyful and sweet and happiest girl. And I've been praying that over her, and look how happy she is. And you know, she's pretty happy and joyful because I've been prophesying it over her. You can change people, or you can bind people with your judgments. And you can become what you judge them with. That's the danger of it. Just saying, let's prophesy. And the last one, because I'm really going to wrap it. I mean, I got 2 minutes to do this. I'm going to do it. Here we go. 5, 6, and 7. Here they all are. The actions of the new are kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Told you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. So here they are. Kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Kind. This word kind is really awesome. And it means what's suitable and fitting for a need. It means we're to be kind. And why are we to be kind? We're to be kind because God was kind to us. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. God was kind towards us. We need to be kind. The next one's compassionate. And compassion means tenderhearted. And we need to have compassion. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brothers, tenderhearted, and be courteous. We're to be compassionate and kind to people. And if we're not, we need to back off and zip the lip and deal with it before we start just dumping on people. And because Jesus was compassionate. Why? Because he was. And the next one is forgiving. And the same thing goes. The word forgiving means we need to forgive. Why do we need to forgive? Because he freely forgave us from everything. I don't need to forgive. No, those are the 7 actions. And we need to do it because he forgave us. And the last thing I want to do is to get there and have him go, I can't believe that person hurt me. And he's like, I died for everyone's pain and forgave every stupid thing you ever did. And you didn't have enough inside of you to feel enough of my heart and be like, no, Father, no. Holy Spirit, I don't want to grieve you and be unforgiving to people. I want to forgive people from the heart. And that's where we're tested because, I think the hardest part of testing of forgiveness is when someone who you love hurts you. Because it's easy to forgive people and just like, whatever. And someone hurts you and you're like, whatever, I forgive them. But when someone you expect love because you really love them, that's sometimes the biggest test. But we get to pass the test because he loved us. And because he forgave me everything, all I have to do is go back to that point. And if you're having a hard time forgiving, this is an exercise. It's really good. Picture the cross and put yourself before the cross and put the person on the other side. And then say, I can't forgive him. And then look up at Jesus and go, oh, I think I can forgive him. Are you understanding? Because when I look at Jesus and look at them in the shadow, I'm like, God, you forgave me for everything. If I stand before the cross, I can forgive them based on the fact that you died for them and you forgave me, so I forgive them. Are you with me? We get to do these things. Why? Because God loves us and he wants us clean. He wants us spotless. He wants us to go into eternity and to lead as leaders. There's no end to the end of his kingdom and of his government. There will be no end. It doesn't stop on earth. It goes on for eternity. And God wants us to do it the way he would do it. So let's start here and get better at it here so that when we get there, we already are like doing it. Does that make sense? So we get to take on those seven characteristics. We get to find out whatever our weak points are and submit them and talk to people to get free. But the answers were there. Put off the old. And if we don't renew our minds and put on the new, we won't do it. We have to have our minds renewed. And after we get our minds renewed, we can make the declarations and we can declare the word of God and we will change it. We can put on new actions and new behavior. And it's just like putting on clean and holy. You say, I'm all messed up. I feel like I had 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 7 or 5 out of 7. You walk away. No, every day we can go before the cross and there's grace and mercy every day. The question is, a lot of people, they don't even care. They don't even, they got spots on their clothes and they don't care. You know, I get one little spot and I want to throw away the shirt. Teresa's like, no one can see it. And I'm like, I see it. You know, I want to chuck it. Sorry. But I'm like, I can't handle that. You know, it's like, I want, and I, before God, I want to be clean. I don't want to just ignore it and go, I'm going to heaven with this junk. Are you with me? We need to be like, we need to be that conscious to say, God, I don't want to embrace any of those things. I really want you. And I want to reflect you. And I want you, because I know you love me, I know that's why you're helping me to get these things cleaned up. And if you miss that, you won't do it, because you'll be like, he's mad and angry and mean, and he's not. He's loving and compassionate, and he provided Jesus Christ and the cross to wash you of all your sins. And he says we get to exchange our sins, though the reddest scarlet is the reddest spilling, the reddest grape juice all over a beautiful white dress, and he makes them white as snow. That's the God we serve, that every day we can go to the foot of the cross and have it washed away. The question is, are we just not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who's always trying to get us to go back to the cross and say, there's something on your face. Oh, I got to get that off. There's a little stain here. I'll make it white. Yes, God, I repent for that action and help me. And let me get the word of God. What am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to be critical. I'm supposed to speak the best. I'm not supposed to be unforgiving. I'm supposed to forgive. So I forgive. Forgive is not a feeling. You just do it. It's a choice. You just do it. It's not, I don't feel like forgiving. I don't think Jesus felt like dying on the cross, but he did it. He did it from obedience. So we get to just do it and we get to be renewed. And I'm done preaching. If you could stand with me.